The scripture reading is John chapter 6, verses 53 through 55. John chapter 6, verses 53 through 55. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink." Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of over 10,000 branch churches in Korea and all over the world, local sanctuary members, those who are attending the service on the internet worldwide, GCN viewing audiences, there is a hymnal song that has been sung by so many people around the world. It is Amazing Grace. It starts with "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." John Newton is the one who wrote the lyrics of this song. At the age of 6, he lost his mother, who had sincere faith, and since then, he went astray and committed many kinds of sins. He became the captain of a slave ship, treating the slaves brutally and selling them. Meanwhile, he faced a great storm, and when he was in danger, he sought the grace of God and met Jesus Christ. He turned from his ways and eventually became a pastor, trying his best to spread the gospel for the rest of his life. The lyrics of the Amazing Grace talk about the grace of salvation that he gained in the midst of living a filthy and sinful life. Even after he turned 80, he passionately preached the gospel and often said, "My memory is weak now, but I clearly remember two things. One is that I used to be a sinner, and the other is that Jesus Christ is the great Savior who saved me." What kind of confessions do you make? Do you have the grace of God deeply engraved in your heart so that you will never forget it, even if all your memory fails you? On this Feast of Harvest Sunday, I hope you will remember the limitless and endless grace of God once again in your heart. I hope you remember that though we were all sinners, He made us His children, that He keeps us each as the apple of His eye, and He leads us to the kingdom of heaven. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the first grace we should remember on this Feast of Harvest is the grace that allows for us to change into true children of God. The reason why God the Creator created the human beings is to gain true children who resemble Him. Otherwise, He would have had so many angels. He would have made so many angels. But angels are not like God. They can't resemble Him. Not just children who unconditionally obey like robots, but those children who can share true love from the heart, understanding God's heart deeply. He gave us the free will to choose the goodness, love, and truth after experiencing the flesh that perishes on this earth during the course of human cultivation. In the steps of human cultivation, we can deeply realize the love of God and cultivate a heart of spirit that will never change. As I reminisce over my Christian life, when I confess that I love the Lord right after accepting the Lord in the first level of faith and in the second level of faith and in the third level of faith, it's the same words, but it is all different. They are all different. But after you pass the rock of faith and go into spirit and confess, I love you, Lord. I love you, God. That is from the inner heart, from the depth of your heart, from the bottom of your heart. So it is true confession. And if you go into whole spirit, and if you confess your love, profess your love, that'll contain all kinds of heart, even with the life. There will be a profession with a life-giving love. There will be true profession of love. Those who do not understand this principle of cultivation seek meaningless things all their lives and eventually reach destruction. But you learned and realized the providence of God, and now you are living valuable lives. Nowadays, the Fifth Republic is on TV again. I once watched it long ago. At that time, I couldn't really find so much meaning in it. But now, when I watch it again, I think like, why would they live such an evil life? You know, what is so good with becoming the president so that they try so hard to gain fame and power just to get one more star in the army? They do so many evil things while all those lives are so meaningless. But what if they become the president? What after they become the president? And when I think about those lives, it is such a wretched life. Pitiful life. And the result, at the end of this life, will be either in hell or heaven. And they don't know that. And they try to live such an evil life, not knowing the life to come. So if you do not know the truth, if you do not know God, the earthly life here on this earth is meaningless, as in the book of Ecclesiastes. Students, young people, you should realize this fact so that you will not live a meaningless life, but a meaningful life. You will seek something meaningful and valuable. Suppose two men are sailing. They are equally qualified as sailors, but one has a compass and sails towards the destination while the other is just drifting around without direction. Then each one's life will have completely different outcomes and meaning. If we understand the purpose of our lives and the providence of cultivation, we can go in the direction of our goal even in trials or hardships. Because we have faith, we can overcome every day's trials by relying on God. Because we have hope, we can take on anything with thanksgiving. I hope you will always remember the grace of God who taught you the providence of human cultivation clearly and let you take hold of heaven by force with faith. In doing so, I pray in the name of the Lord that you will choose the most valuable direction in life and quickly change into true children of God. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the second grace that we have to remember is the grace of receiving salvation through Jesus Christ. Even though we understand the providence of cultivation clearly, we cannot go to heaven with that knowledge. We who are descendants of Adam were destined to fall into hell due to sins. But because the sinless Jesus took the cross on our behalf, the way has now been opened so that we can go to heaven. Brothers and sisters, can you really give your life for someone whom you love? People usually say, oh, I will die without you. I can't live without you. But that expression, that profession cannot be true in certain circumstances, certain situations. It proves to be wrong. Also, you say, they say, I can't live without you, but in some situations, they have hard feelings, ill feelings against each other, and their words change. Oh, you know, we should have some time off from each other. We should separate. We want to divorce, things like that. Can you endure the pain of one of your legs or one of your fingers being cut off? Crucifixion is one of the cruelest ways of execution among so many other punishments. You don't get anesthesia, and the pain is not just for a short time. Jesus was dragged here and there and mocked all night. And he was scourged all over his body, even to the extent that blood was dripping and his bones were exposed. Thorns the length of fingers were piercing into his head, with his hands and feet nailed with thick nails. He was hung all day under the scorching sun and died after shedding all his blood and water. If you explain the pain of each of those things in detail, would you willingly take this punishment on the cross on another's behalf? But Jesus did it and died for us. Romans chapter 5, verses 7 to 8 says, "For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." We were not righteous. We were not good. We were sinners. And yet, for these sinners, to save these sinners, Christ was crucified, taking up so much pain. And God gave up his one and only Son to save us. So when you hear such a thing, you say, Amen. And you agree. But for that amen to be true, what kind of outcome should there be in your Christian lives? God loved us so much, and the Lord loved us so much. He took up all the pains, taking the cross, the things that we had to take ourselves. He took them all on behalf of us. And if we really profess that faith, our lives will be changed, not just with words, but actually our lives must be changed. We did not love God first. Jesus took the cross quietly for those souls who forsook God, for those who persecuted him and cursed him, and for the heinous sinners who are living in darkness. I hope you will engrave this grace of the Lord who saved us more deeply in your heart day after day. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the third grace that we should remember on this Feast of Harvest is the grace of giving you a true shepherd at the end of time. God created man and gave Jesus Christ for human cultivation, but there still are so many people in the world who are not saved. There are many who have not heard the gospel, or have heard it, but do not understand it. There are also many who say they believe, but still follow the lust of the world. Sometimes those who gave thanks for the grace of the Lord, with tears, get tempted and go back to the world. As this age is becoming increasingly darkened, And people follow lust, pleasure, and personal benefits more and more. We are in desperate need of a true shepherd who keeps his flock. As Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 11, the latter part, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A true shepherd has to take care of his flock with all his life. He has to let them discern the will of God with a word that penetrates to the division of spirit, soul, and joints and marrow. He has to show the signs and wonders so that they can have spiritual faith and meet and experience God. He has to warn them of sin, righteousness, and judgment so they will not be stained by the world and be able to overcome the sins and temptations. If a ferocious animal takes the sheep, the shepherd will take the sheep back from the mouth of the animal. The same manner, a true shepherd has to bring back the souls from sins. Above all, he has to let them feel the love of God the Father so they can receive the strength and grace to overcome the world. There are temptations of the enemy devil and Satan, and they have to protect them, protect the flock. You have to protect them from the enemy devil and Satan. So in order to be able to do that, what do you have to do? You know it very well. How can you keep your flock? You know it. So everyday life, your daily life, you have to think about it. And especially if you are pastors. Since the last leadership conference last year, what kind of everyday life have you been living? Did you really spend each hour, each day serving the flock? Then it means you must have been praying all the time, being awakened, and you must have been filling up the amount of prayer that you have to fill up. And you must have been learning the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, cultivating your heart into spirit, and been casting off the things that are not in the sight of God so that you can become a proper servant in the sight of God. And you must have been visiting the members, taking care of them. If the flock, if the sheep is, what kind of troubles or problems they have, and watching for all those things. And you would have been trying to help them and strengthen them. And you'd have been helping them so that they will not be disturbed by the enemy, devil, and Satan, so that you cannot help but pray fervently, being awakened all the time, being on the alert all the time, so that you can bring down the power from God. You know that. Without those acts, you cannot protect your flock. The enemy, devil, and Satan will not go away with your words. You have to receive power from above. You must have the authoritative power of your message. And your words must not have any blemish or spot so that the enemy, devil, and Satan will have to submit to your word, to your command. So you have to make yourself in this way, so that you can keep your flock. When David was tending the sheep, tending the flock, would he be just empty-handed? He must have trained himself so much, you know, throwing the sling stone and so many other skills, so that he can fight against these ferocious animals and bring the sheep back from them. And so if you're everyday life, if you live a month, if you live a year, and you have to think about what kind of life have you been living for the past year? How much growth of faith did you have? How much power did you receive? How much did you come to love God more? How much more did you come to love God and be loved by Him? And to do that, how much have you been trying, sacrificing yourself? Have you been saving even a second, a minute of your time? If you check all those things, you will have the answer. By doing that, you have to be You have to strengthen the flock. You have to solve their problems. If they are in poverty, you have to lead them to be blessed. And if they are sick, you have to heal them so that they can live a healthy life. He has to keep the souls with all his life until they can stand on the truth by themselves. So that you will not lose just one soul. If you do lose a soul, you will have to take the responsibility for it. Our Lord sternly warns us. If you lose a soul, the Lord has been telling us all the time, so many times, that we must not lose a soul. And we have to keep, to protect the flock with this kind of determination. Those of you who attend this church have heard the word of life that you have not heard anywhere else. And these messages, you understand that you see, you are seeing that all these messages, all the words of God in the Bible are interpreted with a matching mates. And if you understand, and if you believe and practice it, you know that it is done as it is written in the Bible. It's just that because you don't keep the word, you don't receive the answer. But if you live by the word of God, you receive all the answers, you receive health, and you receive all kinds of blessings that are mentioned. So you understand, you prove that the word of God is so true. You yourselves are witnesses. If you live by the word of God, you are witnesses. If in 1 year, in 10 years, you never get sick, you never get a disease, you never face any disaster. And if your family members do the same, it's the same for all your family members. And in your children, when they were born, they've been attending this church since their childhood, and now they have grown up to become grown adults, young adults. And what do they say? I've never been to any hospital, I've never taken any medicine, and so far, I've been growing up by the grace of God. But look at the worldly people. Can anybody say such a thing? You are convinced that the message is true through the powerful works of God, and your spiritual faith has grown up. You imprinted the love of the Father in human cultivation and the love of the Lord who took the cross deep on your hearts. I hope you will give thanks for the grace of God who let you come to this church and meet the shepherd. Let me conclude the message. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we will have the Holy Communion in the second part of the service. The Holy Communion contains the basic principle of our Christian life. The reason why we regularly have the Holy Communion with the explanations on its spiritual meaning is because you should keep that meaning in mind. Today's reading passage, John 6:54 says, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." In other words, it means he who does not eat the flesh and does not drink the blood of the Son of Man does not have eternal life or the hope of resurrection. The reason why we worship and pray every day in our lives is, after all, to gain salvation and eternal life. It is not to go to hell, but to heavenly kingdom. From this, we can understand the importance of the spiritual meaning of the Holy Communion. First, to eat the flesh of the Son of Man is to take in the Word of God as our spiritual bread. To eat the flesh of the Son of Man, it is to take in the Word of God in the Bible, 66 books of the Bible, as spiritual bread. We listen, we digest it, and we cultivate it as spirit in our heart. John chapter 1 verse 1 says that the Word was God. The 66 books of the Bible is the Word. It is God. John 1:14 says that God, who is the Word, became flesh and came down to this earth, and He is Jesus. So the Word came in flesh 2,000 years ago. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and He was born as a born in a human body. So, to eat the flesh of the Son of Man is to take the Word of God as our spiritual bread, as we eat bread and or rice, so that it will become our nutrients. This does not mean learning the Bible just as in knowledge, but to change our heart with the Word. It is to cast off evil from our hearts and replace it with goodness and love. So to take off untruths and to cultivate our heart with truth. To eat the flesh of the Son of Man this way, we must drink His blood at the same time. So we don't just eat the flesh, we have to drink the blood at the same time. This means that in addition to learning the Word of God, we must have the deeds of actually practicing the Word following our belief. You eat the bread, and which is the flesh of the Lord, and you drink the wine, which is the blood of the Lord. So all these things symbolized in spiritual sense. Once you listen to the Word of God, you have to practice what you heard. And when this deed is followed, and there must be this kind of a following deed. Let me give you an allegory. It's like when people eat food, they have to drink liquid too. Without liquid, they can't digest. And they can't really become nutrients. If you eat dry food without taking any liquid, you cannot digest it well, even if the food is very nutritious. But of course, you have saliva and chewing all these things, all this food, dry food. But you still, you know, this even saliva is a liquid. It has to come from some kind of liquid. So that's why you have to drink water. We can absorb the nutrients and also give out the bodily waste only when we consume liquid too. Similarly, when we learn the Word of God, we should not just remember it, keep it in our head as knowledge, but we must try to put it into practice. We have to obey the commands that tell us to do, not do, keep or cast away certain things. Only by doing so, the Word of God that you learned will actually become your life and strength. The untruth in your heart will be removed and it will be replaced by the truth. Hatred will go away to the extent that love fills it. Arrogance will be cast away to the extent that humbleness enters in. Hot temper will go away as meekness is filled. If the hot temper goes out, you can see that the face will become gentle. You know, the facial appearance. You know, if you have hatred, your face is kind of fearful. It's not gentle. But once it goes away, your face also becomes gentle. Also from 1 John 1:7, we can understand that we have life in us only when we drink the blood of the Son of Man as well as eat His flesh. It says, "But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." Let's say we have a fellowship with the Lord God Almighty. Then, if we have fellowship with Him, there's no problem to which we cannot receive the answer. Because the Lord God Almighty, with whom we have fellowship, He is Almighty, He knows all, and He can do everything, and there's nothing impossible with Him. So suppose you have a fellowship with Him, then all problems, what kind of problems can there be? In the morning, there was a person saying, doing something. He was asking me about what he was supposed to do. You know, we have a kind of economic recession, but he has to send 2 children to the schools and all those things. And there was a person who asked me this question. What should I do? What should I say? What should I answer? I am a teacher of the Word of God, and I cannot direct you to live how you should live your life. Our Lord doesn't, you know, He prohibits pastors from doing those things. But I already gave him spiritual advice already. You know, his business is not going well, and how many months have he been doing that? You know, some people, they do it well, but for him, it's not really working out. So then if he thinks about it, he can have the answer, you know, how much he prays and what kind of Christian life he is leading, how much he loves God, how much he is walking in the light, whether he is on the rock of faith, whether he is really longing for a spirit. When I ask that simple question, he can have all the answers. So it means that he is far away from rock of faith and he's too far away from spirit. And I just gave him this spiritual answer. I always tell you from the podium, you have to come into rock of faith and spirit, then all problems will be solved. Then if I give this kind of answer, it might be too difficult for them, but it's the correct answer. Actually, that is the easiest answer. But the problem is, how much do you love God? What kind of fellowship do you have with God? To have fellowship with God is to walk in the light, so you must be walking in the light, and it means you are praying so hard, fervently, diligently, and even then impossible things will be made possible. But because he is not living such a life, because he doesn't have fellowship with God, so he doesn't have fellowship with his Father, whom he believes. He doesn't have fellowship with his Lord, the Savior. That's why he doesn't have, he has problems. He has difficult situations. But even though I give him correct answer, he is not feeling so good about it. He should feel that, yes, this is the answer, and I have to live this kind of life. I will live this kind of life from today. And soon, he will be changed, and his business will go well. Here, so if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Here, to walk in the light means to obey the Word of God and practice it. Jesus shed His precious blood to redeem us from sins. And for us to be forgiven through His blood, we must walk in the light. You already understand this spiritual meaning of the Holy Communion, along with so many other spiritual things, listening to many messages. In that, you have been receiving blessings, both in body and spirit, having not just assurance of salvation, but also hope for New Jerusalem. I hope you will give thanks for the grace of the Father God, who guides you day after day with the spiritual word and His power. Also, I hope this Holy Communion will renew your hearts with the love of God and become another beginning point for you to lead a more vigorous Christian life. And in the end, may you all be changed into God's true children whom God desires. In the name of the Lord, I pray. That believer who asked me this question in the morning, and there are many people who are in that business, in that field of business, and while I was gone, many of them are having a hard time in April, in May, and also in July. But those moments are an opportunity to receive greater blessings. The more difficult it is, those who walk in the light, what do they do? What are you supposed to do? What kind of answer did I give you? You should give thanks all the time. Oh, it's difficult. It's not going well. Or for a couple of months. Because the business is not doing well. Oh, it's so hard. No, you shouldn't say that. Father, thank you. But rather, you should say, Father, thank you. Through this opportunity, I'm going into spirit and I can also I can realize if there is any wall of sin, I will realize there the wall of sin. And also when the senior pastor was with us, it was going well, and since he's away, you know, it's not going well, and I understand. Now I realize the value of our shepherd so much. So you can give thanks in this way. That is a good opportunity to receive greater blessings. And if you really give thanks from the bottom of your heart, you know, as I always teach you, oh, Father, I'm having a hard time. And I realized that your blessings were such great blessings before. But I wasn't really grateful enough for the blessings I received in the past. So you can even give thanks even more. You can be rejoicing even more. Then what will God say about it? It is like, you know, you're giving him no option, no other option but to bless you. You know, it is such a pleasing, you know, there are prayers that you can offer so that you can please God so much. So by doing that, you give him no option, you know, not in a negative way, but you are giving him no option but to bless you, you know. Even though he's not blessing you for a couple of months, for 3 months, they still rejoice and give thanks, you know, because they are having a hard time. They supply each other, they help each other. So I will, you know, I want to bless this company so much. I want to bless all these sons so much. It is a chance to please God so much. And why can't you have the kind of faith? I will just change the situation like that. If there is any problem like that, I will change the situation this way so that the problems will be solved right away and I will receive even greater blessings than before. You should have that kind of faith. You know, those who are walking the light, they will have the kind of faith and they will pray that way. And so they will please God. They will make God so delighted. Then right away you receive blessings. Let us pray together, thinking about the message. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you for your love and grace. Let this message become life and faith. By eating the flesh and drinking the blood of the Son of Man, let us gain true life and true strength, and let us go through this human cultivation well so that we can become sons and daughters who are pleasing in your sight. Lord, thank you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. I pray for the sick. Lay your hands on sick parts. Heavenly Father, lay your hands on them, transcending space and time. There are many prayer requests from other countries. Father, lay your hands on them. Pastor Paul Lee of Germany will lead a Measure of Faith seminar in the pastor of Pastor Ronji on July 1st. Be with him. Cheng I am Mi Wien is dying of age, old age, and the Father be with him. Let him be saved. Wang Sun, epilepsy be healed. Wang Xiaoho, dry skin be healed. Han Ku Yi, innate heart disease and deformation in the fingers be healed. Xin Wei Chun, rhinitis be healed. Fu Ling, breast cancer be healed by the Five Holy Spirit. Zhang Xiao Rei, there's a deformation in the small veins of the brain be healed. Dai Shouji, women's disease and cervical trouble be healed. Li Janhua, women's disease. Shi Zhuiran, pain in the left leg be healed. Zhou Guangying, pain in the legs go away. Gong Wei Ying, high blood pressure, arthritis. Ri Wei headache and high blood pressure be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Dai Xie Qin. Inflammation in the gums and women's disease and piles be healed. Yang Chan Ying. Cervical problem and arthritis, high blood pressure go away. Li Xi Chen. Gastritis be healed. Shi Su Mei. Diabetes, right side paralysis be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Wang Feng Ying. Cataract and back pain, arthritis go away. Be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Light come. Gu Wei Qin, women's disease and paralysis of the hip bone and piles. Zhao Jin, arthritis, back pain. Chun Chong Mi, after effects of traffic accident waiting. Rheumatoid, Ushuin, cataract, Ka Xiu Jun, swelling of the tumor in the leg. Wang Tong Yin, Li Wan Yin, leg pain. Liu Fu Ran, pain in the left arm. Chun Zhu Hong, pain in the abdomen. Chun Duo Hua, pain in the right leg. Chun Win Fang, pain in the abdomen and women's disease. Zhuo Hao, shrinking of the brain, speech disorder. Chun Zhu Jing, herniated disc. Li Do Win, arm fracture, and her son, schizophrenia. Chun Xiaoting, and Ji Xu Rong, pain in the stomach. Wang Zhong Yi, pneumonia. Wang Huai Guang, schizophrenia. Wang Gohua, and Wang Min Shi, rhinitis. Wang Ke Rin, paralysis of the right hand. Wang Nan Letter, recover eyesight. Zhuo Jin Feng, skin disease. Chun Hong Li, blood clot in the brain and high blood pressure. Wang Ke Gui, pulmonary tuberculosis. Chun Nai Rin, heart disease and skin disease. Zhuo Huai Mao, loss of sight, be healed. Let us see what. Again, Wang Xiu Hua, pain in all of the body. Zhou, be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Light come. Zhou Yonghua, cerebral apoplexy. Li Sufing, prostrate inflammation and problem with the skin on the head. Chen Xiang Chui, high blood pressure. Lu Zhao Mei, cervical problem. Chen Xiang Hong Li Ying, epilepsy. Chen Ving Qi, swelling in the brain. Chen Xiu Xiang, diabetes, heart disease. Calcification in the kidney. Yi Nai Chun, shrinking of the brain. Chun Ru, the discharges and pus. Zhang Ji, diabetes. Wang Aifing, low fever. Chun Chong Jin, for easy delivery of the baby. Wang Zhan Chun Jil, let them get into good college. Chun Chong Jin, let him get a good job. Father, bless them. Let the eyes see well, let the ears hear well. High and low blood pressure go away. All the internal organs be made well. All the skin diseases, cancers, third stage, last stage cancers, TB go away. Father, make all the weak bones strong and give them spiritual and physical health. Light come. Father, Heavenly Father, bless them. And be with us in the Holy Communion. And let it proceed with your grace. Lord, thank you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.